Hey everybody, welcome to our monthly sponsorship forum. I'm Suzanne, compulsive eater, and we have Susan and Cheryl here today. And this is being recorded, just to let everybody know, so it'll be available later on the recording line and on the website in a couple of weeks. So the sponsorship forum, let's begin with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept
the things I cannot
change.
Courage to change the things I can.
And the wisdom.
And wisdom. Know the difference.
Thy will. Not mine.
Be done. Be done.
Amen.
Okay, so this is our monthly get-together. We talk about sponsorship. Here are a couple of guidelines. If you want to ask a question, please be brief and to the point. If you are a sponsor currently, or you have 30 days of abstinence, abstinence, or 7 days if you're a sponsor, you may share on something for 3 minutes, and Susan is going to be our timekeeper so that we get enough sharing and questions in. And like I said, please be brief and to the point if you have a question. And let's try to stay on the topic. That's really important. So someone wrote in an email to the inner group about once one has a slip, how do they qualify, especially if you're on maintenance? And this is why it is so important to have the most current sponsor guidelines. And Susan, would you like to start us off on that subject?
Yeah. As you mentioned, the most updated maintenance sponsor guide did have a change from an earlier one. So we did go back and forth arguing what the correct number of days are as you're regaining your abstinence time. So there are two publications where this information is currently. In the Sponsoring in Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How book on page 66, and on page 9 in the Maintenance Sponsor Guide, it does say that after 30 days you are qualified again to be a food sponsor. After 60 days of abstinence, you are qualified to be food inventory and step sponsor. And after 90 days of renewed abstinence, you are a full service food inventory, step, and maintenance sponsor. That's all I'll say for this moment.
Thank you, Susan. Cheryl, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yes, this is Cheryl. Good morning. I'm just reading page 9 in the maintenance sponsor guide, and Susan was correct, 30 days and 60 days. But when it comes to maintenance, it says 90 days plus completion of the maintenance questions 2, part 2, slip questions, food inventory step maintenance, to become a food inventory step maintenance sponsor again.
Yes, and there was one other thing that someone brought up, that if you are not at your maintenance goal weight, then you have to wait till you're at your maintenance goal weight to qualify as a, and that's important, to qualify as a maintenance sponsor. I wanted to distinguish that because I think someone put it as able to sponsor. But if you're already sponsoring someone in maintenance, you're still sponsoring that person if that's what they agree to. But to stand up at a meeting to qualify, we must meet those requirements. So now we'll open it up for sharing or any questions on this matter. How does one qualify, and what do we go through to get there?
Suzanne, it's Susan, compulsive eater from New York.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. Thanks to all of you today for this forum. I have a question that's something that is hazy for me, and maybe it's hazy for other people. Because some people achieve goal weight and then, you know, they need to go from having a regular food sponsor to something because they need to have the maintenance food plan, but they haven't really gone through many other things, like the fourth step inventory and the step 6 through 12 and everything like that. To your knowledge, is there, does the person need a full-fledged maintenance sponsor when they've achieved goal weight, but they've got other things that they need to do?
Thank you, Susan. Thank you. And my short answer is quick, yes. Susan, would you like to address this further?
I don't know that it's specifically written in guidelines about that kind of bifurcation of body weight is at maintenance versus being eligible to be a maintenance sponsor and what type of sponsor that person should have, but it just makes sense that a maintenance sponsor understands transitioning to the maintenance food plan. So to be held and supported in the ways of the program, it just makes sense to require a maintenance maintenance sponsor as an individual is transitioning to a maintenance food plan. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan. Cheryl, I don't know if you'd like to add anything.
I would. Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
On a practical level, like we are announcing at every meeting, Susan, the sponsor coordinator, is looking for people that have that can sponsor food inventory step and maintenance. It's always been a problem that we don't have enough FISM sponsors. So with that in mind, it becomes a problem. What happens to this person if they cannot find a maintenance sponsor and they want to continue on? I was told in the past, and this may not be right, but this is what I was told when I was not yet a maintenance sponsor, that if that happened, I needed to study the maintenance food plan if I chose to and help that person with the food and continue on with inventory step, etc. But the best choice is, yes, to find a maintenance sponsor who can guide you. But if that's not possible, and nowadays it becomes a little bit of a problem, then I just not to get stuck. This might be some of your sponsors willing to go ahead and study that maintenance food plan so that she can help you out. That might be something that is suggested. But again, you know, this is just my interpretation.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'd like to add to that. This is Suzanne. I've had a sponsee because of her work schedule is good at doing this at times. If someone is gotten to their goal weight and their sponsor has not yet gotten to maintenance, what one could do is find a friend or someone, one of the outreach people, who is on maintenance to help guide that person because at least they have that experience. And while they may not be sponsoring that person, they're definitely assisting and mentoring, but assisting. They're assisting that person because they've gone through it and they know what they're doing, and that could be helpful, just to ask someone, hey, you're on maintenance, can you kind of help me and or my sponsor guide me through the transition because I cannot find a maintenance sponsor. So that might be helpful. There are plenty of people who are on maintenance.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Cheryl. I definitely think that's a great option. And if that's available, I think that's probably the way to go first.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is Susan from New York again. Just another part B to that question. Is this one of those times when it might be a good idea to have a maintenance person just accept the person's food each day, but to continue with the regular sponsor?
Yes. Yeah, and maybe the maintenance sponsor is not even going to sponsor them, but at least help them. But sometimes a maintenance sponsor can say, I can help you with your food, but you still have your other sponsor. Yeah, that is that one of those times.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Anyone else has any questions or would like to share on that point?
This is Cheryl. I just like to present something. Recently I had a sponsee who was at maintenance food level, and slipped, so she gained some weight. So now she's not at the goal weight. and continued on with her maintenance plan, not realizing that her food plan needs to change. It's not just a question of, okay, tightening my program, but it also means going back to another possibly 30 days, you know, first 30 days. So that's something that probably needs to be addressed, because she totally was not aware of that, and I didn't realize what was happening. But, of course, when I did, you know, brought her back to the first 30 days just to help. That's another thing. Sponsees get very scared of having to go back to do the first 30 questions, first 30 days. And for me, it's just a question of, you know, tightening up your program, getting rid of that excess weight that you put on, and going right back to where you were at. And so it's not a punishment. It's just a way of keeping your weight even and where you want it to be at.
This is Susan, compulsive eater. Page 26 of the Forever Abstinent book, in the event of a slip, if the weight gain is less than 10 pounds, follow this maintenance food program with following adjustments, and then it gives you the adjustments. And then if it is over 10 pounds, you go to the after the first 30 days food plan with your maintenance sponsor. So that... that's a little more direction on a maintenance person, a person in maintenance who slips and does gain weight.
Thank you, Susan. It was more than 10 pounds, and I appreciate that after the first 30 days. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's an important point, because a lot of people want to go back to the first 30 days, and I say no, that it has to be the second 30 days. Thank you, ladies. Any other questions on this? Or any sharing? Okay, well, some people might be thinking about that one. We also were thinking of, while we were talking about, you know, 60 and 30 and 90 days, about how important and how beautiful it is to have a third step ceremony, and a lot of people do not go through that. And Cheryl, would you like to address that and talk about how important it is to go with the guidelines and do the ceremony?
Okay. Well, for me, I love that third step ceremony. And many times I need to do it with a sponsee on the phone. But I remember one particular time where the sponsee was in the area. We went to a park. It was dusk. And we put on the candles. And it was so beautiful. It was surreal. It was such a spiritual moment that it stayed with me all these years. So, you know, maintaining that closeness, added sponsorship, well, we can't always do the candles when you're on the other end of the phone, but it's important that not just answering the questions, but having that close contact with that person before they start sponsoring and become a sponsor themselves. So that's the beginning of sponsoring. That's where we sort of finish being a sponsee, so to speak, before becoming a sponsor ourselves. We're always a sponsee forever. But I think it's important to get past that third step ceremony. I think it's beautiful. And I also suggest that sort of push the sponsee to, right after the ceremony, put themselves out there and try to get a sponsor. And I know the first reaction is, but I can't do it. I don't know enough. How can I? I'm only in for whatever amount of time, and I don't know anything. And so, you know, one time someone didn't say anything, and I started smiling. She says, why are you smiling? I said, because you didn't say what everyone else does. But it's very important to understand that a new sponsee has 30 days more than the other person, whatever it is. If they're just in 30 days, they've got 30 days more information than the newcomer. And if I still have questions today after all these years, that I go to my sponsor and I ask her, and if she doesn't have the answer, she goes to her sponsor. So I don't need to know everything. I just need to be able to, you know, read and turn it over and be there for that phone call every day on time. And I have this page that I read to new sponsees all the time, and gives them the guidelines and the boundaries about phone calls, when to call, and the tools. And so, you know, sponsoring begins at the end of that third step ceremony. It should begin then. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Susan, any thoughts on doing the third step ceremony?
Yeah. I had when I brought this up while we were talking about what to discuss at this forum, I had just completed a third step ceremony with a sponsee over the phone, and I'll say that I've only done it over the phone, and I speak of a virtual candle at the points of the ceremony where it instructs to light the candles and just keep the candles representative of the qualities and thoughts that the ceremony brings up. And I was one who had contempt prior to investigation on the ceremony. It just seemed hokey and blah, 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 whatever. I had a negative feeling about it before I experienced it myself, and it was very powerful for me, and I certainly have changed my mind about it and very much appreciate how it brings us back to the work that the sponsee has done up to this point, solidifies the understanding, the knowing, the revealing, the surrendering that the first three steps do, and does prepare the sponsee both for sponsorship and embarking on the four-step inventory. And I think it's a very important pause and review before both becoming a sponsor and working on one's inventory. And we did, you know, after I brought up this, the idea of the third step ceremony as something to talk about, the beauty of it, we actually expanded that idea to the beauty and benefits of sponsoring. And it is such an important service both to ourselves and to our fellows. As a sponsor, when I was first sponsoring, what I experienced was a confirmation of what I did know. And I found that I was saying things that surprised me in a very positive way, that my higher power was speaking through me, that I had absorbed the power and the teaching of 12-step recovery up to a point, certainly, but there were... It was just a very powerful experience, and every member needs a sponsor, so it is so important for anyone who is feeling fearful or inadequate or whatever, so avoids doing the service of sponsoring, to look at those fears, accept them as they are, and move beyond them so that, you know, we can provide the service of sponsoring that is so essential for our work in this program. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. And I would just like to add, I was given the suggestion the first time I did it over the phone with a sponsee that the sponsee still have a candle and light it, and that I would have a candle on my end and we would light them at the same time. And first I thought, I don't know how that's going to work out, but I was given that suggestion very strongly to do that, so I thought, okay. And it worked out really well. We felt even more connected. And I'll say this, I know there are people that get tired of sponsoring because their sponsor slips or whatever, but you know what? I was told you cannot keep what you don't give away. And if I don't give back to what was given so freely to me, I could, you know, it's a little tricky, you know, like I could be in jeopardy of losing what I have if I do not share it. Would someone like to share, ask a question on sponsoring if you're new or the third step ceremony?
This is Lily from Idaho, and I have a question. I have a sponsor's guideline that was reviewed back in July of 2015. Is that the latest review?
No.
Is there anything?
No. There's one that was done last year as well.
As well? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Lily. Does anyone else have any more questions about sponsoring or on the maintenance aspect or her SIP ceremony? Cheryl, would you like to expound on why it is so important to sponsor, or what do you get out of sponsoring? Maybe that would be a better way of putting it.
Okay. Thank you, Suzanne. This is very important to me, dear to me, because I love sponsoring. I love to be able to carry the message and help someone else. And I know it's a vital part of our program to carry the message and to continue this chain of helping see how continue function. But other than that, it's just knowing that when they call in the morning, when I get that call, it's like I know that their time is their time. So I listen, and I you know, there are times when I used to comment, and now I find it's probably safer and better for the sponsee to just listen. When I realize they might want me to say something, then I do. But you know, you hear the sponsee. You know, they feel that a sponsor is their lifeline. So yeah, at first it sounds like they're just going to give me the food, but the sponsee feels this release and able to talk to someone about what's going on in their life so that they don't pick up. And to be able to be there for someone like that, and for me to be able to do that with my sponsor as well, is so important that people on the outside don't get it. And we had one of the readings in the Asbel C this morning, what if people criticize CHOW? And, you know, people have been known to do that, when they'll say, you know, why are you still eating that kind of food? Why does it matter? And, you know, putting the program down, it doesn't matter to me what they think or what they say. They don't understand that there's so much more to it than putting the food on the scale. Yes, that's important, but helping someone else put their food on the scale, helping someone else understand their character defects and how they work it, showing them and explaining to them. For example, you know, when someone asks me a question, how would you do it? Or when I start saying something because I feel they might want that information, it's all about, this is how I work my program. This is how I do it. I don't know how you're going to want to do it, and it's not my business how you'll do it. This is how I work it. You might get something out of it or not, but I feel it's so important to give of myself. Sponsoring just does something for me. I've been known to have too many sponsors at any given time, but that's okay. I'm self-employed, and I have the possibility to do that. You know, it's okay. But it's so important because sometimes you have like 45 people on the line and you'll ask them any available sponsors and there's no response. And it's like, you know, sometimes you just want to say stretch. You know, just stretch. One more. And I know for me, sometimes it's hard to fit them in. And sometimes it's like, oh my, I got to go out. Here comes another call. But I know that that person is expecting me to pick up that phone, just like I'm expecting my sponsor to pick up the phone. So it's so important. This program is that phone call is not just about turning over the food. That program is about a lifeline. A program is about being able to say, what's going on in my life today? I don't want to pick up. Please help me. And to be able to be there for that person is an amazing feeling. So sponsoring to me is vital to my program. I could not work this program without helping someone else. It wouldn't work. You know, I have to know that I'm there for someone, and that gives me a good feeling to continue on my program. And I learn. I learn from people that call, sponsors that call and they have questions or experiences that they go through. I learn from that. You know, whether I use it that day or that week or that month, doesn't matter, but it comes back. That's how she took care of it, or that's what she went through. Now, how do I take care of it? So, it's just an amazing thing. I think it's very important. And if you aren't sponsoring yet, please try to get it together and try. It's not hard. And I can fail. You can fail. It's okay. We can make mistakes. We can always make outreach calls, find out what did I do wrong, how can I help this person with this and this. Of course, we keep it anonymous, but what do I do in this situation? How can I help that person? And so we don't have to know it all. just need to be there to pick up that phone, listen to that food, and get that question that's being answered. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Cheryl. Susan, would you like to share some on sponsoring?
I'd like to offer you a chance before I go, if you would like.
Okay. Well, I could say a lot on this subject. I do sponsor quite a few people. Sometimes it's a little less, sometimes it's a little more. But I have time on my side. At least I had more time before. Now I have a little less time because I'm spending more time on myself, which is a gift and a service to myself. But along these years that I've been sponsoring, I have been given back so much more. Yes, I guide the person through the steps and everything that we do here, but as I'm guiding one of my sponsees, I always learn and grow. So I see this as a growing experience, not just for the sponsee, but for myself. And I've grown along with some sponsees, and I've grown on my own, aside from my sponsees. Inside, I've grown, and I'm always willing to learn. So I learn more about myself. I have more insight about our program. And it is a gift. I look at it as a gift. And I'm truly blessed and grateful that I get to do this. And I get to experience different types of people with different situations. It does enrich my life. It really does. And I don't find it a sacrifice. And, you know, I do sometimes have to say, tomorrow I'm going to, you know, a doctor's appointment, which I couldn't get in the afternoon, so can we speak at a different time? And it usually works out. It usually works out for both of us, the sponsee and myself. I was very fortunate that when my mother was alive, I have a wonderful sponsor, and I was very honest, and I said, I'll be able to call you at the call time maybe 85% of the time, but there may be days that I am in the middle of doing something, it might be dangerous for me to say to my mother, I need to call my sponsor. And my sponsor understood, and she gave me that leeway, that if she did not hear from me, she knew that I would call later, and she didn't think, oh, I'm being irresponsible, no, she forgot, no, or I had a slip. She knew that I was in a situation where I could not call, and I'm very grateful for that. Very, very, very grateful that she was able to do that with me. I understand there's some people who work and they have to keep a very tight schedule. But in my situation at that time, that really could not have worked very well. And my first sponsor, my call time was at 6:15 in the morning. And, you know, I got up no matter what. Sometimes I wasn't asleep yet. And but then when I got my other sponsor, now 13 years plus with her, she gave me that gift because she did not want me calling her at 6:15 in the morning. It was later in the day. So that's, and so why I share that is because I've had a couple of sponsees due to health situations or work. They sometimes had to change the call time. And because my sponsor was so understanding and because of the way my life was too, I could be flexible. And anyway, that's what I could share. I have learned flexibility. In my case, I don't have to be so rigid. That's what worked for me. I'm just grateful I've had people in my life that were able to do that with me. And I'm able to share that with some of my sponsees when it's needed. Okay, Susan, your turn.
Thank you. You know, and for me, the other side of learning to be more flexible is also learning to have appropriate boundaries. So that is to say that we establish a call time, and of course, if something comes up, you know, understanding and assumptions that it is done in good faith and appropriately, we can change the time, but you know, my call time with a particular sponsee is a 15-minute block of time. If they happen to call late, that doesn't mean the 15 minutes moves out. My time is fairly tight, and I am giving that 15 minutes to that person. So, you know, when 8:15 for this particular thought, call times at 8, and at 8:15, whether or not the call came on time, that's, you know, that's the end of our time, and it just is appropriate boundaries. To go back to the idea of the gifts of sponsoring, much of my operating thoughts around sponsoring is around the idea of I came into recovery with a real deficit in skills around relationships. And the sponsoring relationship is a pretty intimate relationship. And I see it as an opportunity to learn and to grow and to develop the skills of being in relationship with another. And I actively pursue that knowledge and absorbing, you know, how to do it skillfully and how to speak respectfully and how to be respectful of both to myself as well as the sponsee. And there was a point I was going to make. You know, and the idea of making a mistake, you know, in relationship with anybody in my world, I am going to have missteps. And the gift, as I see it now, in any relationship, and specifically we're talking about the sponsor relationship, is to come back and make an appropriate amend around a mistake, to say what my intentions are for the future, and to just be very clean about it as just a good member in 12-step recovery, but also as an example to the sponsee for myself on how to make a clean amend. I am imperfect, and I made a misstep, and that was, you know, in reflection, that's absolutely not something I want to do, and I certainly don't want to ever do it in the future. You know, I hope we can move forward from here. Great value in those sorts of experiences in any relationship, and specifically in the sponsoring relationship, which is, again, so intimate. Thanks.
Suzanne, can I just add something?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Cheryl. I know speaking just for myself, but I guess for everyone in this program, we are all very sensitive individuals. And for me, you know, I'm not that way anymore. I've grown a different. For me today, it's not the same, but I know, for example, yesterday, Friday, I was on an overseas call when my sponsee call came in, so I couldn't exactly get off that call to take the sponsee call. So I got a text during that call, but it was only 2 minutes late. Now, I wasn't upset that she was 2 minutes late and therefore did not answer the call. I was not able to. And yet, you know, all these thoughts must have gone through her head, and how could she do this to me? It's only 2 minutes late. And, you know, until I was able to reach her and tell her, hey, it wasn't the 2 minutes. I just wasn't able to pick up. It's what I used to do. It's like, oh, she's dropping me. Oh, she's this. Oh, this is me. When, you know, we're humans, and sometimes something comes up. So not to jump to conclusions and not to think that my sponsee is dropping me or, you know, I'm afraid that I said something that was wrong, and, you know, but, you know, I've learned to be positive. I was always into negativity before, and today I'll step back and I'll say, hey, wait a minute, maybe it's not what I think it is. And so this is something I've learned in program, and hopefully our sponsors will as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Susan. Cheryl, anyone else like to ask a question on what we've been talking about or share? I would like to throw out there, in the years that I have been sponsoring, sometimes a sponsee will get a little fearful or, I don't want to say stir crazy, but hesitant to sponsor because maybe they've gone through so many sponsees, they, you know, after 10 days they never hear from them again and they're like, I can't take this. I always suggest that if you're in that realm of I don't want to sponsor, I can't sponsor, I don't know how to sponsor, then there is another way to start. I always say you need to sponsor because I sponsor. But here is a good thing to do is always offer yourself as a temporary sponsor. I have done that where someone would call me and say, oh, you have to be my sponsor, but we've quit. And I said, why don't we try it for 30 days? And I think most of those people are still with me, actually. Or what I have done is someone will call me and say, my sponsor's going to be away for 3 weeks. Can you be my temporary sponsor? So that's a great way to sponsor and is to be a temporary sponsor because maybe the sponsor's in the hospital, they want a vacation, they're not reachable, or X, Y, or Z. And that's a really good way to be of service and to sponsor and to get confidence back sponsoring as well. Would someone like to ask anything or share? There is no absence requirement to ask a question, by the way, so I don't know if Susan and Cheryl would like to comment on what I just said.
Just that that's a great addition to the conversation. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you. Cheryl?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. If you're afraid to start, at least if you're temporary, doing it temporarily, you can always say, well, you know, it's great, but I have to move on. It's not working for me. Or that's all I can do is be your temporary sponsor. Then there's the other thing where I had this case where it wasn't working anyway. This is rare, but it was happening where emotionally I could not deal with the sponsee. Now, it's not easy for me to say that I cannot continue, but this was a couple months into the relationship, and it was really affecting me emotionally. And so it was very difficult, but I had to explain that it's not about her. It was totally about me. I couldn't deal with it. She was great. She was a wonderful person, but I couldn't deal with it. It was affecting my recovery. And so I remember we were standing in the library, and we were talking, and I said, I'm not letting you go. I will not let you go until I find another sponsor for her. And I had already spoken to sponsor coordinator, and I got her someone, and then she was able to, you know, just start with her right away and continue on. And it turned out beautifully. She's doing really well today. So sometimes it seems like I might used to think that I have to stick it out, and it was to my detriment to stay in that relationship. And I've learned today that I'm an important person, too. My program is very important to me. I want to help, but when there's a problem like that, I need to move on. I need to help that person move on. So that's just a side thing. But sponsoring temporarily is a very good thing. It at least gets your feet wet. You understand, you know, get the feel for sponsoring. And then you can either decide, you know, to continue with that person if she wants to, or just go ahead and open yourself up for more sponsees. But it's the way to get started. Very important to get started.
Thank you, Cheryl. Susan, any comments?
No, not at this moment.
Okay, thank you. We still have a few minutes left. If no one would like to ask a question or share, this is your opportunity. We still got a couple of minutes left. I'll just say that I have sponsored a few people for a few days while they've come back to program before they found a regular sponsor. That's always a beautiful thing to help that transition period of when someone's coming back and they're, you know, looking for someone. They can always call me and say, hey, I know you're really busy, but can you do this? And I'm absolutely, because I know that feeling of I want to do it and I don't want to wait. I got to do it while... They say, well, you got to strike while the iron is hot. And it's also, that's wonderful to do. Well, we still have time, or we'll just end. Anybody would like, yes?
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's Susan. And I was just going to say, you know, we committed to a 30 to 45 minutes.
Yes.
And, you know, we're happy to stay on, but if it's a quiet line, we can move on with our days.
Yeah, I'll just say, last chance before we end it. Anybody with a question or a comment?
Hi, ladies. This is Joanne, compulsive eater from Michigan. I'm driving home from up north Michigan on our vacation, and I, you know, just feel so privileged I got to hear you today. This has been a wonderful, wonderful forum, and, you know, you've inspired me again to answer the call that was put out this week by Susan, our sponsor coordinator, to take on an extra sponsee. I guess I hadn't really thought too much about it. I just made the announcement and then didn't think about it, but because of your forum today, I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to put myself out there and offer to do another sponsee. I love sponsoring. I just love it. And I remember when I was new in the program, and this is for people that might not have sponsored. If you're listening in and you haven't had a lot of experience sponsoring, and or you're afraid of sponsoring, I would be so insulted if they had a slip or if they left me and, you know, didn't want me to sponsor them anymore. And so I've had a lot of sponsees throughout the years come and go, but I really know today that I don't take that personally. Everybody has their own stuff, and they all are on their own journey. All I am is, you know, like the sidekick that stands and guides them along. And sometimes they want to swim in different waters, and that's okay. We all have our own path. So that's one lesson I've learned, and it's stood, you know, it's made me feel stronger and have better relationships because of that, because I don't depend on my sponsee, and I don't want my sponsee to depend on me. We're just sharing the same road. So that's all I have to share. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciated your beautiful shares this morning, and thanks for the constant forums that you're putting out there. I hope lots and lots of people are listening. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne.
This is Cheryl. Hi. I'd like to comment on what Joanne just mentioned.
Yes.
Very, very important that when someone leaves, that I don't take it personally. There was one time, I remember, when I had three sponsees leave within a week's time, and I thought it was definitely my fault. I must be doing something wrong. I was really upset, disappointed, and my sponsee said, no, they're just not ready. You know, it's got nothing to do with me. I was sponsoring the same way for years. You know, nothing's changed. It's just that they weren't ready. So it's very important when sponsoring that when a sponsor either slips and leaves or leaves for another sponsor or just takes a hiatus or for whatever reason, it's got nothing to do with the sponsor. It's the sponsee. I couldn't have done anything differently. I was doing the same thing I always did. So I have to remember that it's not about me. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. I would just like to add this, that I've learned it's very helpful. If you, you know, are working with someone and you think that you are going to be better served or it's a better fit to go elsewhere, I always tell my friends, please let your sponsor know. Be courteous. Just I've been there where someone just stops calling and not a very comfortable feeling because you don't know what happened. So if you do, if that happens in a call, you know, I don't think that's, I mean, just my opinion, I don't think that's a great idea to do it in a text or an email. I think to call the person and let them know, thank you for sponsoring me, but I have found someone else. And because it's kind of you're complete on both ends. And same thing, if you're a sponsor, if you're going to let someone go, tell them or help them find another sponsor. But just don't stop taking your calls because that leaves the other person hanging and wondering. And give them time to, if you possibly can. If you cannot find them a sponsor, give them a little bit of time. I know my first sponsor actually left our program for a while, and she said, in 2 weeks, I'll no longer take your calls to give you time to find a sponsor. It took me longer, but that's what happened to me. But at least I had a time to adjust and find someone temporarily. There we go again, the temporary sponsor. I found someone temporarily who could help me until I found a my permanent sponsor. Well, not my permanent sponsor. The sponsor I have today. Susan, did you want to share?
We're at time. I would like to let people know that our next forum is scheduled for August 27th, same time.
Thank you. I thought it was the 27th. Thank you for reminding us. I want to thank everybody who was here today and everybody who was listening. And thank you, Cheryl and Susan. And let's close with a serenity prayer.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you, God.
Grant me the serenity.
To accept the things
I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can.
And wisdom, and
wisdom
and
all
of
the difference.
Thy will.
Not mine.
Not mine.
Be done.
Yeah.
Amen.
Coming back. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
See you in Las Vegas.
Hey.